Hey, we're back. It's module number two of the ASP.NET Core Microsoft Virtual Academy. I'm Scott Hanselman.
I'm Maria Nekaka.
When last we left our heroes in module number one, we had just made a console application.
Yep.
And we upgraded it.
Yeah, we switched it over to a web application.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different ways you can build a web application.
There are.
And the different tools that you can use to build a web application.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we looked at was .NET Console.
Yeah, piece of .NET new console.
Yeah. So there must be other commands.
Right. If we type .NET new and hit enter, we can see that there are other options. So let's go and say super MVA web. We'll make a new folder. And I'll say .NET new. I can say .NET new web.
And that will just give us a simple MTAP.
Yeah, just a little simple .NET new web. There you go. It said the template ASP.NET Core empty.
Has been successfully corrected.
Right.
Yeah. And also shows you what's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually that's interesting. If we look inside there,
so
it's
let's
probably,
have a look.
Look at that. That looks pretty similar to what we just did, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
There's
it just
that.
Has a lot of the things that we had to write manually.
Mm-hmm.
Has
exactly.
It
exactly.
Wired into us.
And actually, let me look at startup as well. Yep, very similar. Couple more things. We'll talk about those.
So let's have a look at this in Visual Studio Code.
Okay, that's a good point. Let's go here and I'll say code dot Visual Studio Code. Of course, I can go and get at code.visualstudio.com. It's a free text editor, code editor, works everywhere,
yep.
Works on Mac, works on Linux. When I open it the very first time, if you've installed this, it's a real quick install. I think it's a couple 30, 40 megs. It doesn't take any time at all. It may prompt you to download the C# extension. So you click over here and you'll see it says C# for Visual Studio Code. Visual Studio Code will notice, I think you're doing something in .NET.
And yeah, and we'll try to bring down the necessary things.
Exactly. When you get those necessary things, you'll have a nice experience with syntax highlighting, and even better, you'll have IntelliSense. And see, look, it's just popping up right there. Oh, you know, required assets are missing. Add them, yes. And there's unresolved dependencies. Look at that. Execute restore.
So it's doing the restore for you.
It will. So if I go and hit restore, it's going to go and call .NET restore. Right? This is an important reminder that when you have a text editor or an IDE, an integrated development environment, it's going to be doing the work that we've been doing at the command line for you. So there's no black boxes. There's no hidden stuff.
So what I like about this experience is that it's something for everyone and you can use it any way you want.
You absolutely can. This does not require you to work in any particular way.
No.
In the past, you know, it was, you know, download Visual Studio, wait an hour for it to install. This new world gets a lot of choice. We did the whole first module in Notepad in the command line. We're spending a little bit of time here in Visual Studio Code. And in a moment, we'll move to Visual Studio 2017, which is actually a very fast install.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point out, I also get IntelliSense. So as I type dot, you see it brought up the different commands.
Oh, wow.
And got all of that experience. And it's all free, and it's built in, and it works everywhere, Mac.
And that's another Linux. Benefit of using a text editor and IDE, right?
Yeah, well, I think that this is an interesting point. There's a text editor, like Notepad, which gave me no help.
No.
Or maybe coloring.
Yeah.
Right. It gave me, like, keyword coloring. So, for example, if I go back over here and I open up Notepad, all I get here is
that.
A couple keywords in color, and then I've got this purple, right? Oh, and then brace matching was nice. Every editor is different. This isn't quite an IDE. We call it a code editor because it'll do debugging, it'll do basic check-in, but ultimately you're going to want to spend your time here getting extensions.
I just thought about it. So there's a text editor like Notepad.
Yeah.
There's a code editor.
Yeah, kind of a... it's not meant for writing your great American novel.
And then there's an IDE that we'll have a look at.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and close that, and let's go ahead and fire up Visual Studio, okay? All right. So here's Visual Studio. We've got an empty window over here on the side. It says Solution Explorer because we don't have anything open right now. We've got my recent applications.
Okay. We've been doing a lot of work.
Yeah. And then here under new project, these are the ones that I personally
I've been using regularly.
Right. Yours might be blank if you just installed this.
Yeah.
So you click More Project Templates. So here, on the left, you've got your different templates, and depending on which parts of Visual Studio 2017 that you installed, you'll have different stuff. You notice that mine doesn't say iPhone or Android.
But you can have that stuff in it.
Exactly, I didn't install them. I'm going to click .NET Core. That's the console app we made.
Okay, so we could have done it here.
Mm-hmm. Could have done it here, and it would have done the same thing, and the template would have looked more or less exactly the same.
All right.
We're going to click ASP.NET Core Application.
Oh, and then you have different options as well, and we're going to click Empty.
Well, remember when we did .NET New at the command line and brought up Empty? Here is Empty again, right? So what they're hoping to do is have, you know, parity. Everything you can do at the command line, you could do in Visual Studio and everywhere in between. So that's kind of the goal.
So this is the same as what we saw in .NET New.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you want to do Empty, you said?
Yes, let's do Empty.
All right, so
let's keep it basic for a while.
Okay, and I'm going to hit OK. And it goes and says creating project. All right. And
then,
yeah, a little helper. We got a little nice friendly thing here with links to documentation. We'll talk about these things over the course of the day.
Yeah.
All right. Over here.
What's different?
Well, we've got our
program.cs.
I can open them up because I'm in an IDE here, and I can actually see the methods.
That's sweet.
All right, so this is a class that's inside this file. Ooh, and look at that. You see how I click on it? It's going to that method. And in fact, I can use the keyboard and go to those methods. Just a single click.
And I love the fact that you can see the ones that are open and the ones that you hover over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are all really nice features within an IDE.
And then this is interesting because it gives you a nice view.
Oh, of all the dependencies, the packages that you have available.
Right. Remember when we opened up our CS Proj during Module 1,
Yeah. We
looked at, this was a .NET Core app. That's an SDK. It's an SDK that we brought in, and that brought in a bunch of other stuff, system.this and system.that. Right? And then we saw NuGet. We brought in ASP.NET Core as a package.
Okay.
So here we are in the same, more or less, the same one as before.
That looks pretty similar. Mm-hmm. So everything that we wrote manually, we could have just done it this way as well.
Yep. But we learned a little bit about moving a console application to the web.
But I see a couple of new things in there as well. So
Okay. We
didn't have use IIS integration mm-hmm. or use content root mm-hmm. or iApplication Insights. The application insights, those are the new things.
Yeah. So, okay, so use content root says, what's the root directory or the top directory, the top level directory that this host is going to use? It gives the system a hint about where all your JPEGs and your CSS and all your stuff is going to be. Use IIS integration is saying the Internet Information Server. This is Microsoft's web server.
Okay.
And this plugs into IIS. It's an extension. And you can actually hover over each of these.
And it gives you a little bit more information.
Yeah, you see? You look right there. This says, sets up the port that the server should listen on. That's cool.
So it's a glossary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we've got use application insights, which we'll talk about a little bit later, which is going to do telemetry and diagnostics.
Okay.
All right. What's interesting, though, and I think you're pointing out, is that there's a whole series of things we could use. We could chain this up as many different ways as we potentially could.
And so all this that we're mm-hmm. looking at right now must have a name, like a concept that we use. So is this what would be referred to as the middleware?
These are not middleware, but they can set up middleware.
Okay.
We will go and talk about that in a moment. Actually, let's switch over to startup and look at that. Here, I'm going to hit Shift Alt Enter. See, that makes my Visual Studio full screen. Okay.
You know all the tricks.
Yeah, I know three or four hotkeys. I do okay. In here, we can go and add in middleware that will change the behavior of our application. But before we do that, let's just talk a little bit about the ports and things.
Okay.
We are sitting inside of our application. At the top, there's a play button. I can pull it down. And there's IIS Express,
okay.
which is the developer version of the web server. And then there's this Web Application 10, which is the name of our app. If I click Web Application 10, all right, and I can push this play button.
Yeah.
Or I can say Start without debugging.
And there must be a shortcut.
Yep, Control F5. This is kind of cool. Look what happened. So we've seen this before.
Yeah.
Localhost, I picked a funny port.
You did.
Didn't pick 5,000, that's fine, we'll talk about that. And then if you notice here, as I hit refresh, look what's happening on the left there. I'm getting logging, informational logging. All right.
So if you had changes, it would show up as you refreshed.
I could see the different changes. It'll show me, and right now it's showing me I'm hitting slash whatever. Maybe I could hit slash foo. Now slash foo appeared in logging. So I'm getting internal logging that's coming out to the command line. That was added as a piece of logging middleware. It said, hey, log stuff to the console. If I got rid of that, we wouldn't see that logging anymore.
It would just...
It would be logged into the nowhere.
So that's why when we're running our application that didn't have all this set up, it just had go to localhost 5000.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There was no console logging. There's still calls somewhere in the system.
But we're just not seeing them.
Yeah, we're just not seeing them. They're in the ether somewhere. So
there's stuff happening in the background that we're just not seeing.
Well, there's stuff that's happening in the background that we can plug into. When we talk about application insights later, we'll see other places we can send the logging. So we saw that the port number was kind of a goofy port. There's different ports. See, it picks 590. And then also, by the way, it launched the browser. So the IDE is another example where the IDE with one hotkey starts my app, starts my browser, which is nice.
Yeah.
Now, you had said that we could change the URL by changing the web host. How will we do that?
So we're going to add, are you in your program.cs?
I am.
All right, so we're going to add use URLs.
Uh-huh, okay.
And then enter in the URL that we'd like. So let's use 8081.
Okay, so localhost. People who are web developers like us will like to pick fun numbers or easy to remember numbers like 5,000 or 8080 or like you said, 8081. So we'll do that. And then I'm going to hit Control F5.
And now it says,
listening on port 8081. Okay, so I can do that. All right. That is the port that's being used by Kestrel, which is that tiny web server. If I go and use kind of the more industrial web server, the more classic web server, IIS Express, and I hit Control F5. Notice that the box didn't pop up.
Yeah.
The DOS box or the command line box. And a little icon appeared down here in the corner.
Is that IIS?
That is IIS right there, right? So I can actually see web application running. If I had multiple applications running, they would all appear here.
And it's giving me a little bit more information there.
Yeah, it's telling me where it started. It's telling me...
It's a developer environment?
The parent process that started it was Visual Studio, DevEnv, and things like that. And I could go and stop that. And then I hit stop, and that stops running. If I go down here, actually, I did stop running because IIS is going to keep that running. And let's see if it's still going. Yeah, it's going to keep that going until I start it again.
Okay.
All right. So you have choices about what you can use. You have full control. So in that very simple example, we can change the URL for Kestrel, or we can use IIS, which is a totally different web server.
So can we specify what we wanted to use for IIS?
So IIS is its own world that sits in front of the ASP.NET Core and Kestrel. And what they've done is they put that information down here in properties, launch settings.json, a little configuration file. So there's your IIS Express.
Yeah.
And there's this. But because we want to keep the visual in Visual Studio, we can go over here on the application and hit properties. And then your web server settings are right there.
Okay, so I can manually go in and change it there.
If you change that and hit save, it will change in the launch settings file.
Shall we prove that?
No. I promise, you're gonna have to trust me. Yeah, it will change. It will change in that file, which is actually interesting. Look at this. There's something else above here as well.
Yeah.
We have ASP.NET Core environment development. When we run this and the command line pops up, it says hosting environment.
Development.
Development.
And that's coming in from over there.
let's actually test that, like you said. Let's just change development to Fred, which is a nonsense word. Didn't say anything, all right? Oops. See, now this is, this proves your point, where I said that launch settings.json would change.
Yeah.
Visual Studio has popped up a notification saying it changed. The file has changed. Do you want to see that? So because I have that file open, see what happened there?
There it is.
Now this is interesting. Why didn't it change? I set the environment to Fred for IIS Express, not for when we run from the command line there, see? So let's go ahead and put that back the way it was, development, and I'll just say, you know, nonsense. That's just a nonsense word, just as a test, okay?
There it is.
I spelled it wrong. So it says here, hosting environment, nonsense, right? Hosting environment, or ASP.NET Core environment, that's basically saying, is this production or is it development, right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean, production versus development?
Why would someone need both a production, need a development or a production?
No, so as an environment, the idea is that when you're debugging, like we saw before, we get all those different outputs and stuff, all this extra information, all these warnings and things like that. That's important as a developer. I need to see that now as I sit here. But when I go into production, I don't want to slow the system down with a bunch of unnecessary logging.
Yeah.
If I'm doing JavaScript or CSS, I want my HTML and my web assets to be easy to read. If I go view source, I want it to be clean.
You don't want it to be every single bit of junk that you've put in there.
And be minified. But if I go into production, my whole goal is speed, speed, speed. Right?
Yeah.
So when you set the environment to production, you might want to not show, you know, show errors. Like, you know, when you ever hit an ASP.NET site and you get the yellow screen of death and it's like, here's some code. And it's like, wow, I'm looking at your code. Like, I don't want to see that. I want to see your call stack. What you can do in your ASP.NET applications is change your behavior based on your environment. So here I'm saying,
that's a good example.
If it's in development,
then show a developer exception page.
Use an exception page. So, you know, we should probably do. That would be kind of crazy.
Are you going to break stuff?
Yeah, let's break stuff. How did you know I was going to break stuff?
Because you like to break stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do this. Here's where our hello world is. Let's throw an exception.
Okay.
We're going to consciously break something. I'm going to say throw new exception. It's broken. We're simulating.
Or you broke him.
Yeah, I broke it.
Okay.
So we're simulating doing something bad. Okay, so something bad has happened.
Ooh.
All right. So this is the non-threatening light blue screen of death.
So it's no longer yellow. It's blue now.
No, it's not the yellow screen of death. And additionally, at the bottom here, it's got information about my cookies and my headers and the call stack. So there's the line of code, and I can actually open that up, and there's a piece of my source code sitting right there from line 27 to line 38. This page is probably not something that non-technical parent could deal with.
No, and even if someone was technical, you probably wouldn't want them to see this.
That's another great point. If you are technical, you're really giving up some internals. So what you're saying is, if it's in development, do that.
Could we try this?
Mm-hmm.
If we switched it over to production,
that's a good point.
What would the error be?
I don't know. Let's find out. Production. And ultimately, I spelled it right. Production.
That looks right.
Yep. You never know. Does it need to say production? No, it just needs to be
development.
Yes. Exactly. So let's go and try that. Okay, so this is still showing that, which makes me wonder if I did it correctly, if it really did that. So this is an opportunity for us to do some debugging.
Okay.
I'm going to hit a breakpoint, and I'm going to hit go. So the breakpoint is going to stop us right there. And I want to find out if we really are in production or not, because I may have done something wrong. So here we are.
And what's happening?
I'm going to hit F10. Okay, so we are still in development, because now we got there, and it's going to install that middleware, that developer exception
page.
Middleware.
Yeah.
So then, the question is, which one of these, see? So this is important here. Because you've got this switch between IS Express and production, you need to make sure when you're over here, this is important. Look how sloppy I was. See where it says profile?
Yes.
This drop-down aligns with this drop-down. So here, I set it to production. That's launching without one web browser, and that's launching with. So this is launching with IIS Express. So that's why that didn't work.
Isn't so now if you launch with IIS, because before you had launched with Kestrel?
I launched with this tiny web server, and now I launch with IIS Express, and this should work now.
Okay, let's have a look. Yep.
There you go.
Now that's what you want people
that's
to
what
see.
I want. Well, I would rather
No, you'd see, rather have like everything you know, is beautiful.
I don't know, kittens or something. So here, this page, this kind of pretty looking weird page that Edge did, that was made by Edge, the browser, not the server. The server just said 500.
Yeah.
Right? Something went wrong. I could then, we'll see when we go and we make another a web page a little bit later, I could show them a friendly thing or even, I could even log it, tell someone about it, page someone, wake someone up at home, run and fix this system.
So you'd page me, go fix it?
Yes, I would delegate. So that piece of information there, that development page is middleware.
That is middleware. But before we jump into middleware, for someone who is new to the web and watching this for the first time, maybe they are used to writing console applications, you have development, production, and staging.
Yeah, or as many as you want. Yeah.
As many as
tests
you want.
Tests could be one, or perf testing, whatever.
So you can make it whatever you want. But there must be a standard that people have to follow.
Well, so there's a life cycle, right?
Yeah.
So development is, I want as much information as possible. I want debug details. I want internals. Everything's on my local machine.
Okay.
Staging is, I'm just about ready to put it into production, but I'm going to put my finger on the chess piece.
Okay.
Just look around the board before I make that move. And then sometimes you'll hear about people switching staging to production. They'll do what's called a swap.
Okay.
So, you know, version one of our app is out. It looks great. It's in production. Version two is in staging. Maybe people are testing it. You may have seen your own, you may have seen websites where it's like beta.whatever.com or staging.whatever.com. You're testing it, then you swap them, and then work continues. Sometimes people will do performance testing, and they'll have a testing environment. What's nice about this is that ASP.NET Core recognizes that development is a thing, and production is a thing.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, you can name it whatever you want.
Okay.
People name it the Seven Dwarves. Totally fine.
Right. So
people name it whatever they want to do.
I'd just be like a whole bunch of Beyonce albums.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So that use developer exception page is a piece of middleware. But I'm going to remove that exception there and make sure I put my app working again. Okay, there we go.
It's working.
So right now our app does one thing. It says, hello world. And I want to point out, no matter what I type in, it says hello world. Our app knows how to say hello world. It doesn't know how to show pictures of anything yet. Okay? So it's not a very clever app. It's because that's all it does.
So we've talked about, when you think about the web, you think about HTML.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not seeing any HTML.
Yes, because right now our app says hello world and we have no HTML. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should probably make some.
Okay, so let's make an HTML page.
Okay. So this, in IIS, you've got this, in Visual Studio, we have a folder here called www.root or www.root. They made it with a little world-looking earth webby sphere.
So basically
here.
The web.
Yeah, basically the web. But if I right-click on this project and I say open folder in File Explorer, I just want to point out
it's just a folder.
It's just a folder. They just made it like Earth, I don't know, like global webby looking for whatever reason. I can make from here.
You can right click, add a new.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Can I even make HTML?
I think you can actually make, can you actually use a regular text notepad?
Yeah, yeah, well let's go index.html.
That was the first time I wrote, my first editor was regular notepad.
Yeah, that's everyone's. Well, not everyone's. There's the VI people and the at the Elm. I was Pico. Pico was my first editor.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So here, I've got index.html, and I want to point out that I made it in Explorer on its own, and it showed up in Visual Studio. So this is another important reminder. You don't need Visual Studio to work on it, and it's very natural to, yeah, like, for example, go and find an HTML page.
And then plop it in there.
And plop it in there. And I think I may actually have one lying around.
That's nice and fancy.
From yesterday. No. I had an index.html that had something in it.
Add some nice stuff in there. You have a lot of index.html.
Well, you know, yeah, when you're goofing around, you tend to make a lot. What's inside that one? There you go. There's a hello from ASP.NET Core. We'll use that one. So I'm going to open this HTML. Just drop it in there.
So let's run our application and see what happens.
All right, so we have an index.html. It's sitting in www.root. All is right with the world.
What happened?
Let me type in index.html to be explicit.
Still.
Okay. ASP.NET doesn't seem to understand what we want from it. Okay.
And this is really interesting because that does show that it's truly like you add in what you need when you need,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that is interesting because ASP.NET Core gives you nothing.
Nothing, by default. Like you're on your own.
Yes, you're on your own. And another way to look at it, if you're more techie, is it's locked down by default.
Okay.
It is opt-in as opposed to opt-out. Previous versions of ASP.NET gave you everything, and if you didn't want it, you turned it off.
Yeah.
With this, even something simple like I want to serve an HTML page isn't built in. And by built in, it's not included by default. You have to turn it on because from a security perspective, you want things locked down.
Okay.
All right. So how do we do that? We've been using middleware for this use developer exception page. We put middleware on top of iApplicationBuilder. We can go here and say app dot. If I type use, all the middleware, see there's the generic use middleware, there's our developer exception page.
So we must be wanting to add static.
Yeah, well I'm not seeing static files, so that must be in a library we can bring in.
All right, so there must be a dependency of a NuGet package that,
okay,
is.
Can I let us do that. So let's go over to NuGet.
This is a new way of adding a NuGet package. So you can actually, if you right click on your web application,
mm-hmm. Oh, a right mm-hmm. click up here.
Right, yes. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Manage NuGet packages. We get it. There we go. Now we don't have to do it at the command line. And I'll just type in static files.
And it should pop it up. There it is.
There you go. All right. And I'll hit install. Little license thing here. Hit cool. Now it just showed up over there.
It's ready to use.
Right. And if you remember in module number one, of course, it's added to the csproj file. So that's added to the project file. And this is my our point from before. You don't have to look in that file if you don't want to.
No.
But
what's also interesting is that if you look at our Solution Explorer, you don't see a csproj file the same way that you saw in Visual
right.
Studio.
It's underneath that. And if you really want to see it, you can right-click and edit it and
okay.
see it right there. And what's cool is you can do that. There's our reference. Without even having to close your project. So it's there, don't worry. But the visual is still there in the Visual Studio. All right?
All right.
So now I'm going to go and say.
I'm going to go back to app.
App.use.
Static pages, does that show up?
Ah, there we go. Use static files.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like there's three options.
All right.
Is your overloads. There's the main one. Enable static file serving, one that has options that you pass in, and then one that says, well, only for this specific path. So we'll just use the defaults and see if that does anything. All right. So then we'll run it. I'm just hitting Control F5, of course, to do that. And it still doesn't work. I'm going to type in index.html here, because that's the name of the file, and then hit Enter. All right, and there we go. So asking for it by default worked, but doing the default root just localhost slash whatever gives me hello world.
So there must be a way for us to make our new HTML page the first one we see.
Right. That is called the default. Like you usually have index.html or default.html or sometimes index.htm.
Yeah.
That is an additional piece of middleware called use default files. And as a point of note, it's you might find this happen. You have to put it before.
Because order matters.
Order matters. In middleware, it's a pipeline, and order matters. So let's go ahead and try that.
And that's a really good way of thinking about it, because everything has to go in one stream. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. It's a pipeline, and everything is run one at a time. And we'll see a little bit later how order matters. So there it says, hello from ASP.NET Core. That worked. If I made another folder underneath www.root, and we'll call it secret folder maybe, I'm going to copy index.html in there. And again, showing you I can edit these files. I'm going to say hello from secret folder. Notice that
there
Visual
is.
Studio's keeping up. It's really nice. So secret folder is a place. I'll even make this file a secret name, foo.html.
Okay.
And I could put my, my images and stuff in there.
Okay.
If we run our app,
will we be able to see that directory?
That is the question. So that's our index. If I go secret folder, that's this. See? Hello world. If we say secret folder.index.html, doesn't exist. If we say foo.html, it does work. All right? So what's interesting here is that if I try to look at the directory,
you can't.
I can't. It doesn't match anything. We didn't set up a default, so we're not using the name index, so that didn't happen. I can ask for it if I know the name.
Yeah.
Of course, this is not security. We're just showing you how files and things work like that. At this point, I have maybe outgrown doing these things onesie-twosie.
And you can probably do it in one line?
Well, there is middleware that basically says turn everything that I need on, and that is use file server. And if you notice again, when I hover over that, a use file server is nice because it says enable all static file middleware. But then it says accept directory browsing.
So we have to enable that.
Yeah, I want to turn that on too. So then we see our overloads. There's four versions of use file server. And one of them
is enable directory browsing.
Yeah, so we're going to say enable directory browsing.
And it's a true or false statement.
Yep, it's a Boolean. So I'm going to go ahead and put that on there. So now this is enabling all the static file middleware, and maybe against my better judgment, I'm turning on directory browsing, which is going to allow us to maybe see things we wouldn't ordinarily see. So now there's that. I can type in the secret folder and look at this.
Oh!
This is important. This is a fundamentally important thing for us to understand from a middleware perspective. When you're doing something in ASP.NET Core, because nothing happens by default, someone had to write it. Remember that blue developer exception page?
Somebody physically wrote that.
Yes. That. Moreover, because it's open source, we could go find it.
We can find that?
We could go and look on GitHub and spot the code where someone wrote that. What it also means, if someone wrote it, I could rewrite it. We could have our own company's developer exception page.
So if I had a company or I had a school and I want people to see people's homework or assignment examples, I could show it up in something like that and have like the school logo?
You could take this page here and it could include the logo. If you had a 404 or an error page, it could be totally branded.
Yeah.
Every single aspect of ASP.NET and what it returns is modifiable. I could find the static file middleware, and if I wanted to do a file browser, but I wanted it to be a sophisticated file browser with HTML5 and JavaScript, I could do that if I wanted to. I don't know if that would be a good idea, but you could. This HTML here, I could even view source and look at it, was made by the static file browser middleware, which was enabled by this. And again, the developer exception page.
Yeah.
Another good example would be, let's say you wrote an application with a shopping cart.
Yeah.
you found that you're always debugging the shopping cart, you could write your own developer exception page that not just included cookies and headers and things, but also the contents of the shopping cart. And it might make it easier for you as a developer.
Yeah.
So middleware can make developers' lives easier, and it can make users' lives easier. Okay? So that's a useful thing to note. Now, this enable directory browsing thing, I don't know if I want people to be able to see my directories. Remember before we had development and production.
Yeah.
Let's make it so people in development can see the directory browsing, right? But then people outside
get an error page.
Get an error page or the default page.
Yeah.
Now I've done that, okay? If you take a look here, where we have use file server, directory browsing true and false. This else is the, I'm gonna put a comment, not development. That means
production.
But because I have this, this is development.
Yeah.
That could be our Boolean. So what if we said use file server and enable directory browsing only in development? This is just up to your imagination. You can do whatever you want. So here we're going to turn the file server on for everyone, but we're only doing directory browsing in development.
Okay.
So you can set this up however it makes you happy. And you know, if we wanted to, you had showed me that cool string interpolation.
Yeah.
Let's do something with that. Let's make it say hello in the name of the environment.
Okay.
All right. So what do we have to do? We're in app.run.
Do you want me to remind you what it is?
I know it was a dollar.
Yeah.
And I need mustaches.
Mm-hmm. And then we have env:in or env.
Right. That is our hosting environment.
Yes, which is up there.
Yeah, and that's being injected inside there. And I say env:in dot.
And should give you environment name.
Look at this.
Option?
Not only that did it give environment name, but check this out just as a point of note.
Look at that.
Helper functions for is staging, is production, or whatever. So dev, production, and staging are kind of standardized.
Yeah.
And just as another interesting little point of note, notice these little arrows that are pointing down.
Yeah.
Those boxes mean that they are methods. The arrow is called an extension method. Those are convenience methods that have been added on to make life easier. So is staging is a extension.
Okay.
So you said environment
name.
All right. So if we did this right, I would expect something to work. And let's hit Control F5.
I have my fingers crossed.
Now, why is that happening? Remember, we set up defaults.
Yes.
So I'm going to just rename index.html to something else. I could also turn off defaults. I don't want it to be served. There we go. Hello, production. And I bet you we could go here.
And change that.
Remember we said we can make it anything?
Yeah.
Internal testing. Not a Microsoft-ism, not a thing that ASP.NET invented, just a name that maybe my company decided to use.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Excellent. So what we have seen is that we have this concept of environments. We have pluggable middleware, and we've picked static files and file servers as one. There's lots of different middleware that people can go and get all over. There's open source. There's included middleware with ASP.NET Core that we'll talk about a little bit more in the future. We have been able to serve some static files. And then in this case, with the basic stuff of app.run, print out, in our case, a string. But we can pull from anything that's available. We pulled here from the environment. Certainly in the coming modules, we'll go and pull from the database.
Yeah.
Cool. So that is module 2. I feel pretty good about that.
Me too.
All right. Stick with us.